He was very uncertain of himself, and I always think that King Guy was the sort of person who listened to he who spoke last and loudest. He didn't have the confidence of bringing in the nobility, particularly the native nobility, the men who are descended now in the third and fourth generation from the original crusaders, such as the Ibelin family. Maria Comneno was married to Balion, one of the leading Ibelin nobles. That was her second marriage. All of these nobles who really expected a powerful king to take the lead and yet at the same time listen to them in council. I mean, Guy couldn't play that role. He also depended very much on these rather unsavory types, such as Reynald, Agnes, who was extremely unpopular, and the patriarch himself, who was notorious for his affairs and had a long-term mistress who used to be known as, I think she was La Madame Patriarch, that is the Mrs. Patriarch. I mean, he just openly violated all the rules expected of the clergy, and was only marginally better than Reynald de Chatillon. So with this sort of unsavory group putting Guy in power, Guy was never able to win respectability and legitimacy in the eyes of the traditional nobility. This played to Saladin's advantage because Guy was the type of man who could not lead a feudal levy and at the same time was one of the few types of kings, was the man who would risk a battle in order to try to gain some type of legitimacy. And as I mentioned in earlier lectures on medieval warfare, a set battle, that is a great engagement between two large armies, really had to be fought by agreement. Most warfare was positional. And here again, the Battle of Hattin, it shouldn't have ended up that way. Much of the generalship, the lack of generalship, is on Guy's side, and that's not to diminish Saladin's reputation. But by the time that battle was fought in 1187, those crusaders knew exactly how to handle Muslim armies, and they knew exactly what the strategic situation is. They had adapted to conditions extremely well. All of them now wore these so-called surcots, which were linen gowns over their chain mail. They understood the importance of water. Most of the traditional nobility, particularly Raymond III and his supporters, understood that you fight Saladin strategically, you hold strong points, you wear him down by sieges. You tie up the Muslim forces around a great castle, and then you march your army in a very tight formation to relieve that castle, but you never risk an engagement. They understood how to time cavalry charges. So it isn't as if King Guy inherited some sort of decrepit military or men inexperienced in fighting with the Muslims. Far from it. These very same forces had performed quite credibly under the Leper King, had handed Saladin a major defeat, had checked a number of incursions into the kingdom, and this is because they followed traditional and judicious policy under Baldwin IV, and this was the same policy being argued by Count Raymond III when the final crisis came. And so it really does come down to Guy. It really does come down to Guy and that group around him that were pressing for a major showdown with Saladin. And as I said, Saladin had every reason to take this group on. For one, in their ranks was the despicable Reynald de Chatillon, the man who attacked Muslim pilgrims. Reynald actually sailed this fleet down the Red Sea and landed on an African port virtually opposite Mecca and was waylaying pilgrims going on, holy pilgrimage. This is audacity that shocked the Muslims, even embarrassed those Muslim emirs who had traditionally allied with the Crusaders against local rivals. It gave Saladin the type of legitimacy he could never have obtained otherwise. Saladin's problem was overcoming the stigma attached to his Kurdish origins. He had now an enemy. He began to preach holy war jihad, and some would go so far as to argue that Jerusalem as the third city of Islam really comes out of the tradition of these wars, starting with Saladin. Jerusalem becomes an objective in and of itself, and in a way, Saladin is redefining jihad. It's no longer in the tradition of extending the realm of Islam, as you would have since the 7th century. It's now recapturing a holy city, driving the Franks of the coast back into the sea, restoring the dignity of the Islamic world. And this is because of the very ill-conceived politics, the ambitious policies of King Guy and his disreputable allies that played into the hands of Saladin. And this crisis came so quickly that most of Western Europe didn't realize that it was upon them, because up until the Battle of Hattin in 1187, there was very little indication that Saladin was going to pull off the kind of victory he did. In fact, most crusaders and even most Western Europeans thought the state would break up. just as the realm of Nur ad-Din had, just as the realm of Zenji, that at the most Saladin would get one or two victories, then retire and spend most of his life building mosques and madrasas. And that's clearly that's what Nur ad-Din did. He took Edessa, that was the one victory of his entire career, and then spent the rest of the time doing building programs. And so for most of the Europeans and most of the crusaders in Outremer, they didn't think this was going to end up in the crisis. It did. Well, what happened is Saladin mobilized a great army.